Hello and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, the podcast dedicated to igniting your entrepreneurial spirit and empowering you to conquer new horizons. In this podcast, we chat with inspiring entrepreneurs on their journey to success through some amazingly insightful and expansive conversations. These episodes thrive on thought-provoking chats where our guests fearlessly explore their path to success, sharing their experiences, failures, and triumphs. No topic is off limits as we deep dive into the talked about and not so talked about pieces it takes to build a business, overcome limiting beliefs, deal with personal struggles, and everything in between that shapes our lives and our businesses. I'm your host, Kat Polsonelli, creator and founder at The Lotus Effect, where we believe that success is not just about strategies and tactics, it's about cultivating a powerful mindset and creating customized business operations that align with you and your true purpose. Whether it's mastering time management, improving productivity, enhancing leadership skills, or simply fostering a growth-oriented mindset, we'll provide you with the tools and strategies to flourish in both your business and personal life. I'm so excited to have you join us today in this episode, so get ready to feel empowered and inspired as we learn together and from one another on how to rise above challenges, break through limitations, and unlock our full potential. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me today on this episode of Real Chat with Kat. I'm so excited to have you here with us today and my wonderful guest, Elle. So thank you so much for joining me. And to everybody that's out there, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Elle, please do us all a favor and tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and what got you into your space.
Thank you so much, Kat. I'm really excited to be here. So I'm a relationship coach, and interesting enough, the reason that I choose to be a relationship coach is exactly what happened in my relationship in the past. And I had my own companies. I'm an entrepreneur, so I had my own companies since in my late 20s. And the last one was a recycling company of electronics that I sold it around 7 years ago. And I became a real estate agent of commercial real estate agent. And then my relationship of 10 years, I realized that it's not working the way that I imagined. And I don't think we both want the same thing. So it was a kind of a eye-opening to really sit down and see where I was going or where we were going with this relationship. So I took a couple of classes through Catherine Woodward Thomas, which she wrote two books, one Calling in the One and Conscious Uncoupling. And when I took her class, and then I became involved and I read the books, and then I said, oh my God, I understand what happened here. What was my 2% that this relationship is not working? So then I really, really went deep and took my two classes, and I have actually two certifications through Calling the One and Conscious Uncoupling. Then I realized that this is my purpose. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love business, but I remember when I was in my teenager years, my friends would always come and talk to me about their breakups with their boyfriend, their parents are getting a divorce, and all that. I was someone that they would come and talk to. And I apparently was a good listener. So now I see why I feel comfortable, and actually I would love to be of service to these people that I really want to bring love back to their life. And I'm committed. That's my intention, to help people to bring back love to their life. Because we get sidetracked, we go here and there about daily life, and we forget, or we just kind of put that at the on the side of how we the, our interactions with our loved ones had. It's important. So that's what my story. That's why I got to be a relationship coach today.
I love that. And you know what's interesting? When you really think about understanding your personal relationships and, you know, what, like you said, where your 2% was a part of that, did you notice a shift in your business relationships as well? Because I feel like relationships as a whole kind of, you know, fall on top of each other, even though there's different energies and different levels and different connections. But did you see a difference in, especially with your long line of business owning and everything that you've done in the past, did you see a shift in that when you realized where you were struggling with your personal relationship?
Yes, totally. I mean, everything's about relationship. I kept my business relationships very on the surface, so that deep interactions to become a love relationship or to go deeper, I couldn't go past, I couldn't go there. And then, yes, so I realized that it is, I had a business partner, I have two business partners in my first business, and I realized that I brought my family dynamics to the business. And every time that I had my businesses, it was there. But I didn't realize it to this deeper level that I can see it today and I can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I question myself. Any interaction that comes up, then I am conscious enough to question myself, is this, what am I doing here? And is this, is it something from the past or from the today as I am today? Because we bring our not just family dynamics, but if any traumas, any interaction that has kind of scarred us or was negative in the past as a child, we bring it to today and we just operate from that energy. So I'm very conscious to go every day with the energy that I have today. And I help my clients to understand that was then and this is now. It makes a whole different situation, different energy that you operate your daily life from today.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, you know, a lot of the times what we are focused on or what we are projecting is those that are from our past, including a lot of it that can come from our childhood and how it's almost like it puts a stain on any situation if there is any bit of a trigger from something so long ago.
Exactly.
And how that can have such a huge effect. And to be honest, a very unfair one. And I noticed that in my own relationships with my kids, the way that I was raising them and the way that I was parenting them was very different once I started my healing journey. And once I started realizing that I could come at a situation in a present moment to understand their perspective versus what a lot of us tend to do, which is assume, right? We have assumptions from our past. We automatically put those assumptions on that current situation. And 9 times out of 10, it's completely wrong, but you're so right. We have let so many things in our past define things that haven't even happened to us yet. And it's kind of very unfair to the other person and vice versa, right? But what would you say, you know, for those that are so stuck in the traumas of yesterday, the traumas of their years before, how do you even begin that process to start understanding how to be more present?
Yes. So first of all, it's a commitment that to give that you give to yourself. That I really want to open my heart and understand every step that I make, is it from today or from my past? So I actually put together an ebook and a workbook that I'm happy to share with your audience that it will, working on that, you will then you will understand who you are, what you want, and what your needs are. A lot of people, including myself in the past, I had no idea what I was feeling. The feeling always stays in your body. And if you understand those feelings and you really acknowledge that, then that's the time. I have tools that I work with my clients that we look at what they're thinking. A lot of people, when they go to a relationship, they come from a space of, I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. I mean, those are negative limitations that they have. So we work on that and understand that part of them that feels that they're not good enough or nobody loves them. It's something that has happened in the past, any incident, any interaction. And if that's a five-year-old that is still in there, then we talk to that five-year-old. It's a process that I help my clients. And because even today, if you go out there and something happens and it really triggers that part of you, then the whole day or the whole week sometimes, it'll be based on that negative thought. So, yeah, so there is, so a lot of, I mean, my experience is that a lot of people don't know what their needs are and what their feelings are. So it just, it's understanding who you are and what you want in your life and accept that part that, oh my God, this is, I understand now, this is what I want in my relationship. I want somebody who is honest. Am I honest to myself and others? It's all about, like, you know, really going deep and understanding who you are and what you're attracting to your life based on those knowings.
And I love that you said, you know, paying attention to what you want in your life and what you're attracting in your life. And this is so, so interesting to me because I literally, right before we did this podcast episode, I was submitting some responses on Instagram, and I happened to see a post that popped up, and it was a gentleman that was talking about, he was talking to this conference of women, and he was like, if you want to know how to find the best partner, I'm about to tell you. And he was talking about how they get all excited. But what's interesting is he said, I want you to make a list of everything that you want in someone. He said, then he said, once you make that list, I want you to become that list. He said, because so often we want all of these things, but we're not willing to become them to be able to get that from someone else. We just expect somebody else to handle all of that. And it's so interesting that I just saw that. And you're saying a lot of the same things, right? It really does come back to defining you, having a relationship with yourself, learning to love you, and then being able to project that out into the world.
Exactly. I mean, when I coach my clients through calling in the one, calling in the one doesn't mean that you're going to call that other person to your life. I mean, it does, but that calling yourself, it's the journey to call yourself into your life. And then based on that, understanding who you are, what your needs are, what you want, and then you attract that person that is really matches who you are. And that's how it works out. So it's totally true.
Oh, I love it. So do you find that with a lot of people that you do coach, that a lot of times it does come back to the beginning of learning to love yourself, of learning to have a relationship with yourself and kind of go a little bit more internal versus external. I know we're fed a world where we have all these outside validations that we're searching for, but the more and more that I talk to people that have been through their own healing journeys that are now coaching and helping others, I see this synchronicity across all of these different spaces where I tend to hear kind of the same thing of you have to learn to love you. You have to be able to go inward before you can go outward.
Yes, totally. I mean, if you don't love yourself, how can you love another person? I had a client that I give my clients, I call it a hard work, not homework. So one thing I asked him to do is, when you wake up in the morning, you're washing your face, look in the mirror and tell yourself that I love you. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough, he couldn't do that for a couple of days or weeks. And it's because that part of him, he didn't think that he's worthy of love. So if somebody doesn't think that he's worthy of love, how can that energy bring that other people to his life or her life that is loving? So with that practice and our, you know, talking about it and our sessions, after a week or so, he said, you know, now I can really look into my eyes and say, oh, I love you. And it's going to, what's the next step? And, you know, it was nice to really see that someone that had a very hard childhood and wasn't, they didn't think that they were loved or they weren't loved at that time, how could they love themselves first and bring those people that matches them today?
I love that so much. And you know what? I did a 5-day challenge not too long ago with Mel Robbins was hosting one. And it was this giving yourself a high five challenge. But what's interesting is the part of the challenge was that you literally were to look yourself in the mirror and you were to tell yourself all these positive things and you were to tell yourself how proud you were. And then you were to give yourself a high five. And it was the weirdest thing for me the first couple of days, because I, you know, like you were just saying, we want everybody else to love us, but we forget how to learn to love ourselves. And I thought that was so interesting that it was difficult for me when I was like, I'm fine. Of course I love me. But it's so different saying it versus like actually having to look at yourself in the mirror and have that conversation. And it really does put you in kind of an uncomfortable space until you really start to lean into it to realize like, this really is me. This really is who I am. And what changes or where do I want to go?
Yes, a lot of people kind of operate from in their heads, not with their hearts. And when you do that, then actually you go into your body. So it's a lot of understanding of what that incident that happened many years ago, where in your body it's stuck. And we work on that and see how it's in your heart, it's in your stomach, it's in your throat, you can't, you know, talk the way that you want to, then it's a step-by-step work, but it does work when you committed to bring that true self, ideal self that you are out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I know that, you know, you talk about having relationships with other people and bringing them into your space. So let's say that, you know, someone has really done the work. They really have reached down deep and they're starting to understand who it is that they are and what it is that they need. What would you suggest would be, you know, one of the next steps to kind of help lay the foundation to move them forward to where they now can look at their personal relationships, maybe their personal friendships, those that surround them, and then move into finding and clearing a space to, you know, have a very meaningful relationship.
Yes. When you get to that space of knowing yourself, a lot of friendships sometimes disappear because, I mean, including myself, because I realized when I was with my ex that I did anything and everything for him instead of knowing what I want in my life and what, you know, the boundary. There was no boundary. I mean, if you go to on my website, it actually have my story on there, and I realized that I want to talk about what my needs are with my friends, with my family, you know, whoever that you want to have that connection with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time that you understand if they can hear you and they can be there in the same space as you are. And it's going to, the conversation, the communication is a circular thing. And if it's always this way, straight, and it's not circular, then it's not going to work out.
That is such a good point. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that too, because I noticed the same thing happen in my life when I started going through my own healing journey and I started putting up those boundaries and I started putting things in place that not only did I want, but I craved, or I knew that I didn't want any more of. And it really was interesting to be able to recognize in other people where they are at, right? And what they were able to grow into, and then those that weren't. And I think that that was probably one of the hardest journeys for me. And I know for many that are going through this transition, is I know that for me, I found myself very alone. You know, I had my husband and my kids, but very alone when it came to having friendships and outside relationships, because I realized like I did not create those kinds of relationships in the beginning. So while a lot of them were falling off, right, which is a good thing, it also was a really hard time for me to realize that, like, holy cow, I'm all alone. Like, I have to start all over. And at the same time, it was a learning experience and a way for me to be able to speak my boundaries and my beliefs and my understandings in the very beginning of a relationship, which was amazing, because now I have such beautiful, deep connections with my clients, yeah, with people on my podcast, with people that I've just networked with. It truly is interesting when you really start to step into who you are and you stand firmly in that. And it's, to me, it's very beautiful to see how certain people are repelled and you see that they don't reconnect. And then those that come in closer because of that.
Yeah. So your energy has changed and your energy is attracting those people that your energies are matching. And it happens automatically. People will, I mean, in my life, people will kind of come to me now instead of me like going there. It becomes automatic and very natural, mm-hmm, versus before. There is a book about map of consciousness, and I forgot his name. I have it here. David Hawkins. He talks about force. That's force is when you force something instead of the energy that is natural, normal. And it's amazing how he puts all these emotions. It gives it a name. I mean, it gives it a number, and based on that energy.
That's interesting. That's super, yes, interesting.
And you can take a look at it and look at the map of consciousness and say, oh, this is where I am. I mean, love part of it, or the anger, or, you know, all, love is like two, number 200, but the other negative emotions are below. But then you will understand where you are and where you have been, and you be just becoming more conscious, questioning yourself, where am I today? Mm-hmm. What am I feeling today? One of the things that I ask my clients to do is to put the timer on their phone, I mean, every couple of hours, and ask themselves, what do I feel now? Because sometimes I ask them, what do you feel right now? They can't say anything because they put their feelings someplace else. And it makes it interesting and nice that they will become conscious about their feelings when they do that exercise. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm happy. I'm a little bit sad right now, but this is gonna, this is what happened, but okay, let's look at it this way. So they have a conversation with themselves about their feelings.
Yeah. And I think that's, and it's so funny because I literally just had this conversation. It's about being in the present moment, because the only way that you can recognize your own feelings or your irritations or your triggers is by recognizing what is going on in that moment. And for so many of us, we don't know what that means to be in that moment. We know that we're frustrated or we're angry, and that's the aftermath of what happened. But then we move so quickly on to the next thing because we live in a society of go, go, go constantly, that we don't slow down enough to take 2 minutes. It's all it takes, people, two extra minutes, right? To be like, what just happened? Why did that just frustrate me? Why did that just anger me? Why did I just lose my cool? Why am I having anxiety? 2 minutes is all that it takes. And I love that you said that you have them set the timer throughout the day. It's something that I used to do for the longest time to help get myself out of the habitual mindset and into that present moment. And I would set timers randomly on my phone throughout the day. And when that timer would go off, that's what I would do. I would go through the five senses just to reconnect with that moment, because it's so easy for our brains, especially when you're a parent and you've got multiple things going on, you're always looking for what's going to happen next. You're always trying to prevent something from falling, or taking care of a child or a parent or something of the sort, that we completely miss those little moments. And then in the evening, when we're completely drained and we are done, all those emotions come back up and we can't figure out what is going on.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So you just, I tell my clients to befriend your feelings. Even if you're sad, even if you're happy, whatever feeling comes up, kind of explore and see, is it something that happened few minutes ago, or is it from like 20 years ago that incident took you back to that incident from your childhood or whenever it was, or 10 years ago. So you become more conscious about your feelings, and it's beautiful the way that you can hold on to that feeling and really acknowledge it and be friends with it. Then it will go away right away. If it's sadness or if it's anger, whatever it is, it will. And then you just smile after that. One of my clients told me, after I do that for a week, every time that my alarm went off, I start smiling. And I said, why? Because I was in that present moment and I was happy. I said, good.
Oh, so,
yeah.
That's so awesome. I love that. So now let me ask you, let's say we're in the third phase. We've understood, we've taken the time to be present, and we're starting to see the synchronicities and the people that are coming into our life, like you said, so much more naturally that you don't have to force it. For those that, let's say, are now looking for that relationship, they're looking for that partner that can provide that energy to them, just like they can, you know, for them on lower days. What would you say, or what would you recommend to somebody that's in that space? You know, is there any advice or tips that you would give them to be aware of what they're doing and not push that piece of it?
Communicate. Communication is the key. And mostly, I actually did a video about communication and how the way, there's two ways that you can talk. Even I was on a podcast and they asked me about it. And I said, you know, if incident happens and you're having a discussion, but you and your partner or business or relation, you know, love partner, you don't agree on one thing, maybe the solution will be to say, you know what, explain to me in details, what do you mean by this? And then they do and say, you know, let me go think about it. Let me understand my side, because I cannot talk to you right now. It doesn't feel right. And I don't want to be angry. And I don't, give me some time. Let me go reflect. Let me go. A lot of people just journal. A lot of people just walk, go for a walk. And that, you know, they process everything for themselves. What he said or she said, it's what, this is what they want. What do I want in this incident that has been happening? And I will come back to you tomorrow afternoon. Is that a good time? Or I don't know, give me 2 hours. Whatever it is that you think that you need that time to go reflect and see. Because at that moment, a lot of stuff may come up from the past and you don't want to have that disagreement, argument, that then you will be, you know, regretting the future. So give me some time. Let me go think about it. I understand your view. Let me go think about it. And then I'll come back to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good one. And I personally, like 1000% agree with communication, because I have seen the difference it's made in my life, in the way that I dealt with my teenagers. You know, I have two boys, they're 19 and 15. And several years ago, when I was still trying to figure out my own healing and parent, you know, you get triggered by a lot of things. It's not necessarily their fault. It's just because of all the things. But once I started having those kinds of conversations, and instead of assuming I knew exactly what they meant by their tone, by their wording, or by their body language, but asking them and allowing them the space to explain, it really does take you back. If you wholeheartedly hear what someone is saying, it really does take you back in a moment to be like, oh, okay, I don't have it figured out. Okay, I didn't know what they were saying. Okay, I'm not in their brain like I thought I was. Because I think that we are so quick to assume what somebody else is saying based on our own perspective, exactly, that we think that that's how they're coming at us. When in reality, a lot of times it's someone didn't use the right wording. They didn't use the right tone, or they weren't exactly sure how to explain it the first time. But when you give them that space to say, okay, I'm sorry, what you just said made no sense to me, right? Or that, I'm taking it this way. Did you mean it this way? Or did you mean it a different way? And giving them that space and that communication, that has been a game changer in my household.
Explain it to me, please. I don't understand. Maybe I'm not hearing you right. I mean, especially when they're a teenager and their space and your space is totally different. There's a gap in understanding each other. So yeah, you're brilliant. The way that you ask the question, okay, explain to me. I like to know exactly what you're saying, because I don't really deeply don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that in itself has prevented so many arguments, so many misunderstandings, even with me and my husband. You know, especially if we're trying to have a conversation and we're both kind of stressed, we both have had a really long day, knowing that we're coming into the conversation that way, and then allowing to say, okay, I took it this way. What do you mean? It is enough for us to take a couple of extra moments, realize what we said, and then be like, oh, no, no, no. I'm so sorry, right? This is what I was actually trying to say. And it's almost, it's like hitting the reset button in the middle of a conversation. And I can say honestly that, especially my oldest one and I, we're so much alike. We would butt heads, and I mean bad, because I didn't stand down, he wouldn't stand down, and it was always this yelling match. But when I started portraying this space of, I don't understand, please explain, I realized that he started doing the same thing. And now I can proudly say that it's probably been 2 years since we have had a yelling match or an argument. We still have disagreements. He's a teenager, but yeah, right. There's so much more understanding and there's so much more space. And like you were saying earlier, we both have an understanding of when we are getting to our boiling point, right? So I have the ability to say, you know what? I can't handle this conversation anymore. Let's pick up in 10 minutes. And he can do the same thing. And that has saved so much heartache, so much misunderstanding, so much frustration and anger. And I feel like that could be used everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. In a business setting, in a relationship setting. And Kat, I'm really proud of you that you're starting, you have been doing this with your kids. And imagine when your teenager is 20 years old, 30 years old, and wants to have his own relationship. He's going to model what you're teaching him now at that time. And he's going to have a fabulous relationship because he will also model that there. So amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely been, it's made every bit of the things that I've been through worth it, because it made me explore different parts of myself. And then I was able to have those conversations with my boys, especially having boys, right? And letting them know that it's okay to say when you're angry. It's okay to say when you're frustrated. It's okay to say, I don't want to speak about it right now. Give me a little bit. I don't feel like our males especially necessarily have that part of the emotion, because they have been taught to shove it all down in a box. You know, women are taught that you have tons of emotions and you're going to talk about it, but our males are not taught that. So I am very blessed to be able to gift that to them at such a young age. You're so right. Like, the difference that it's not only going to make in their lives, but in the people that they meet, in the relationships that they're around, in their friendships that they get to now carry on. And that to me makes it totally worth going through the learning curve.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, you have given me so many amazing insights, Elle. Learning how to be present, learning how to communicate, learning how to love yourself before you love others. Like, these are the conversations that people need to hear, right? And I love that you have taken this on as part of something that you want to give back to the world. So, you know, as we come to the close of our amazing conversation, I always ask my guests, if you happen to have a quote or a piece of advice that you would like to leave the audience with?
My quote is, open your heart. And when you open your heart, you create miracles.
Oh, I love that. Yes, definitely. Right. Think with your heart, not always with your head. Such a great reminder. And Elle, please tell us then, how can everybody find you, connect with you, and be in your world?
My website is hearttoheartcoaching.org. And I'm very active on Instagram, TikTok, and also be happy to send you that ebook complimentary for the listeners. I also actually offer 30 minutes complimentary one-on-one, so they can, you know, they have any questions, anything that comes up that they would like to explore, be happy to, you know, talk to them.
Beautiful. Love that. Thank you so much, Elle. And of course, we'll have all that information in the show notes, especially her ebook. I can't thank you enough. I know so many people are going to get so much out of that. And that is going to help so many people. So I hope that you guys got some amazing takeaways today on learning how to first have a relationship with yourself and then see the beauty that unfolds as you create the relationships around you. So Elle, thank you so much again for being a part of the podcast. Oh, thank you. You are so welcome. And to everybody else that's out there, I hope, again, that you got some amazing takeaways. If not, listen to this one again. And don't forget, until next time, do one thing positive for someone each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hello again, and thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. If you enjoyed this episode and it brought tons of value, we ask that you please share, like, and subscribe. Your support means the world to us and helps us to reach even more inspiring entrepreneurs who can benefit from these powerful conversations. If you haven't already, be sure to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform, as this feedback is an amazing gift that fuels our growth and helps us to continually improve this podcast. Looking for an extra dose of inspiration and empowerment? Then be sure to connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Lotus Effect, where I share valuable resources and tips while sharing my own journey of being an entrepreneur. And if you're interested in learning more about my coaching programs and services, be sure to check out my website at the-lotus-effect.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a part of Real Chat with Kat. Your presence and support makes all the difference. Remember, whether you find yourself in the depths of the mud or on the path of growth, we all have a unique journey. And just like the lotus, some of us start in the dirtiest of mud, yet as we rise and grow, we blossom into something beautiful, unique, and truly one of a kind. To all of my visionaries out there, keep rising and growing as you create your own Lotus Effect.